Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ at
WGN. It is 6:39, Monday morning house call time. It's Dr. Kevin Most. And how was your Thanksgiving, Doc? Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're healthy, and I hope you and your family stayed that way over the weekend.
Yeah, we definitely did. It was a Zoom Thanksgiving, which is one we'll remember for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to forget about it soon with the vaccine on the way. I want to run this by you. Reading this in the news, statistics reported in the days right after this holiday will likely show a dip, followed by a surge in cases, reflecting government agencies' lag in reporting over the long weekend. Similar patterns were seen after the 4th of July and Labor Day. So given the virus incubation time and how long it takes someone to test positive, cases related to Thanksgiving are unlikely to start showing up until the first full week of December at the earliest. Do you agree with all that?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty close. You know, if you got exposed over the Thanksgiving holiday, anywhere from 2 to 7 days, so we'd be looking towards the end of this week, beginning of next week, for a big bump, I would expect.
So in Illinois now, the 7-day statewide positivity rate is the lowest it's been in about 3 weeks. As of Sunday, it was 10.1%, down from 11.3% last week. How much stock do we place in that, telling us that maybe we're past the worst of this recent spike here?
Well, I don't put a lot of weight into it. Again, the positivity rate, it's a great number to know. But I like to look at the hospitalization rate, and you have to remember that week we saw a lot of people wanting to get tested just because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So at that point, you're really looking for those asymptomatics, where in a normal week, we're testing a lot of people with symptoms as well. So the positivity rate is a little, it's a great number to know as far as showing trends, but it's not telling us the true story.
In the news over the weekend, new research headline, type O blood linked to lower COVID risk. Is this now? I know we've gone back and forth and around on this, but is the current thinking that the experts are pretty sure that if you have is a type O positive, you're less likely to get the virus?
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to statistics. If you remember, we talked about this probably in June when it was first noted internationally, and now it's been just validated again that people with type O blood have a much, I shouldn't say much lower, 15-20% lower chance of getting COVID. And those that do probably have a shorter and less severe course of illness as well. And the thought process is that they must have some antibodies that are made in people with type O blood that are somewhat protective, although we haven't identified exactly which ones.
Type O or Rh negative, is that it?
Correct. Type O. So our bloods are typed with A, B, AB, or O. That's the major blood typing. And then the Rh factor is whether it's negative or positive. So you can be A negative, A positive, AB negative. So everyone knows type O is the universal donor blood. That's the one that doesn't have any antigen. So anybody can receive that blood in a transfusion. And those are the ones that we use urgent emergently and not have to make sure that we do the cross-typing or cross-matching and typing.
Are we talking about O positive and O negative?
Well, according to this study, it really looks like if you were O negative, you would be in the best position possible, because they have found that those, if they took all the A positives and A negatives, they've shown that the A negatives do a little bit better. So the Rh factor absolutely seems to, again, decrease your chance of getting COVID and how severe you'd have it.
And the latest scientific study on vitamin D now indicating that maybe it's not helping severe COVID-19 cases. What do we know about this now?
Yeah, I want to be careful about this one, because people need to understand vitamin D is not a treatment. In other words, I get COVID, I'm not going to come in and say, give me a big dose of vitamin D. It's not like an antibiotic. But we know that vitamin D is one of the most important vitamins to strengthen our immune system. So really, people should not be saying, oh, I'm going to stop taking vitamin D. They showed that it didn't work. No, what they showed was if you had severe COVID and we gave you high-dose vitamin D, it really didn't have an impact. My point is, get it on the front end to improve your immune system and strengthen your immune system. And especially now, as it gets dark earlier and is dark later in the morning, we don't get much sunlight right now, and that's how we make a lot of our vitamin D. So in the summer, in the winter, everyone should be taking a vitamin D supplement, because we know that those who are vitamin D deficient are getting severe cases of COVID.
Yeah, especially in this part of the country. We need to be careful. Say I get the vaccine this spring, then what will I still have to do as far as wearing a mask, social distancing? How is that going to work?
Yeah, so like most vaccines, like if you were to get the flu vaccine today, you're not protected tomorrow. We know that the flu vaccine takes 10 to 14 days. We're going to expect the same. And you have to remember here, this is going to be a two-shot vaccine. So you'll get the first dose, and then 21 to 28 days later, you're going to get that second dose. And then you could probably add 14 days on to that before you're fully protected. So once you get that initial dose, it's probably going to be about a month, month and a half before you personally have full protection. What they're looking at now is making sure that individuals who are vaccinated still are not spreaders. In other words, that they have the vaccine, it's living in their system, they cough and sneeze and spread the virus without, but the vaccine is making it so that the body is protected.
And what's the latest research on coronavirus immunity? How long does it last? Do we know for sure?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting one, Bob, because a lot of people have been getting antibody tests. A lot of studies going on right now. And we know we have two types of antibodies, IgM and IgG. That's the easiest test that we can do. And we know that some of those are going to wane over probably a couple of months. That does not mean your immune system is gone. That just means that the immediate antibodies that were made by the infection that you had have gone away. But we have to realize that we have things called B cells that make antibodies and T memory cells that help fight infections. So both of those are still there. So if you were to get infected again, the body's B cells and T cells will start to work. The B cells will start to make antibodies because they now remember it, just like it would for a lot of other infections that we have. And then the T cells would actually go and attack the virus immediately while the B cells are making it. So there's two types of immunity. One is the immediate immunity that we see with an infection. Those are the antibodies that we're testing. And then the other one is the long term, our memory of an infection, so that the body can fight into disease that it hasn't seen for a while.
Continuing our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, what do we now know about people who get COVID experiencing symptoms or complications long after they were expected to recover?
Yeah, so you're talking about the term has been called long haulers, and if you think about it, short haulers, people who deliver trucks and do it very quickly, long haulers drive across country so it lasts longer. That's the biggest issue there. They're not calling them permanent haulers. And it's just symptoms that continue well beyond the infection period. So we know that most infections are going to last, a couple of weeks, but these people have continued symptoms for weeks, months afterwards. The vast majority of them are going to improve, but some we know will have permanent symptoms. And it's unfortunate because some of the ones that they get right now, the number one is fatigue, but then they also could have cough, body aches, joint pain, shortness of breath, a lot of the symptoms that we're seeing. And we also know that it's seems to be in older patients get it more than the younger patients. But we don't know enough about this illness to know how long it's going to last and how long it'll take before it improves.
And I read that that for some people who get COVID and lose their sense of smell, they get it right back. But familiar scents sometimes are suddenly different and unpleasant. Some of their favorite smells are no longer their favorites. What do we know about that?
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is that about 80% of people who have COVID, after the diagnosis has been made and a good medical history is taken, have either talked about an altered taste of a sense of taste and smell or a complete loss. In most cases, it comes back, and like you said, sometimes it is altered. a food that used to be very good, and they used to like the odor of it, or the aroma of it, I should say, now it doesn't feel the same way. So we know that the taste and smell is very complex. We have things on the inside of our nose and the back of our throat, on our tongue, that allow us to send a message to the brain to say, this tastes good, this tastes bad, this is a smell that's concerning. So we know that COVID impacts those cells. We just don't know how it does it, and does it make it a permanent change, or is it going to be something that will eventually come back to your complete normal?
Email from a listener, and by the way, our email address here is bobshow@wgnradio.com. This is from Mary Ellen. I will be spending a night in a hotel. No socializing, just an overnight stay. I was assured that they followed CDC anti-COVID measures. Are there special precautions I should take?
No, you know, as long as it's going to be just a night there, you know, right now the hotel industry obviously is going above and beyond what they need to do. So they are looking at, tell me the CDC recommendations, how do I need to clean and sanitize a room? You know, they're not doing daily cleaning service anymore. They're going to minimize your interactions, even on elevators. They're going to limit the number of people. So hotels are actually pretty safe right now, as long as you control the environment that you're in. In other words, you know, who you're staying with in the hotel, as well as when you're outside of your room, wearing a mask, doing all the distancing. But the rooms themselves should be sanitized beyond CDC recommendations, and you have very little interactions with the staff these days.
We were visiting our daughter at the U of I in Champaign over the weekend. We brought her some Thanksgiving leftovers because she couldn't be with us on Thursday. And while we were down there, my wife and I got tested, and we pulled into one of these places where you just drive through, and we had to wait just 10 or 15 minutes. That was it. And then they give you the swab to do it yourself, and then they say, well, the results come in email or phone call in about 4 or 5 days. And it was so easy, and it was free. Why can't it be that easy to get a test around Chicago? Because you've heard the stories, people waiting hours and hours, or it's expensive. What's going on with testing here?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of supply and demand in population. So we know that if we wanted to test everyone in the Chicagoland area, obviously we would need millions and millions of tests. I could tell you that the hospitals right now aren't running out of testing material, but certainly don't have enough to test every single person. The state has also has limited resources, so they have set up sites. But out here in DuPage County, though, there's two sites. Well, DuPage County is pretty big. I'm not sure how many there are in Cook County. So that's why you're starting to see the long lines of individuals. The testing is actually getting much better. It's more of a collection process than it is the testing process. In other words, here at CDH, we could do 3,000 tests a night. When we first started, we couldn't do any. And then when we finally got the tests up and running, we could do about 100. So the testing portion of it has advanced quite quickly. It's the collection portion of it that our problem sits with right now.
Yeah, it takes a long time to get the results back, too. And finally, Doc, any truth to the rumor that watching Bears games is bad for your immune system?
Well, I'm not sure about your immune system, but it certainly seems to cause nausea and headaches. So,
Thanks, Dr. Kevin Walsh. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Take care.